Welcome to worship this third Sunday of Easter on the 25th of April 2020. Annie and Effie will do the Bible readings and call us into a call for worship. The songs to get ready are Come Now Is the Time to Worship, Mighty to Save, Power of Your Love, and Hosanna, Praise is Rising. Come Now Is the Time to Worship, Mighty to Save, Power of Your Love, and Hosanna, Praise is Rising. Come, let us worship the resurrected Jesus on this third Sunday of Easter.
Call to worship, where shattered hearts are made whole, where wounded souls are healed, where life is stronger than death, there the stone has been rolled away, where the lonely become our friends, where a stranger is welcome home, where hope is stronger than despair, there we find Jesus walking.
Where closed wallets are opened, where the anxious find serenity, where love is stronger than hate, there Jesus is opening our eyes. The stone has been rolled away. Jesus is our companion on the journey. Our eyes are opened to the needs of others.
Alleluia! Christ is risen. Alleluia! Christ is with us.
And in response to the God who makes all things new, we will sing, Come, now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart, just as you are, to our risen Saviour. We praise you and we thank you, God. We thank you for all that you mean to each one of us. We thank you for your power to save and your power of love in this world. But so often, God, we confess that we want to wallow in our shattered hearts and broken souls. And so often we don't want to show in both word and deed the good news of Jesus to those who are also suffering. So often we cannot forgive ourselves and we cannot forgive others. So please remind us how to live your gospel by forgiving us today. In the quiet, confess your sins to God. Pour out your heart and know that even the very darkest parts of you are met in his forgiving love. Friends, the good news of the resurrected Christ is that our sins are forgiven in him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Annie and Effie will now bring the readings.
Since you call on a father who judges each other person's work impartially, live out your times as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defeat. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in this last time for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you were purified yourself by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart.
For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God.
That same day, two of them were walking to the village Emmaus, about 7 miles out of Jerusalem. They were deep in conversation, going over all these things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. He asked, "What's this you are discussing so intently as you walk along?" They just stood there, long-faced, like they had lost their best friend. Then one of them, his name was Cleopas, said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who has not heard what's happened during the last few days?" He said, "What has happened?" They said, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And when he had our hopes up that he was the one about to deliver Israel, and it is now the third day since it happened. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early this morning they were at the tomb and could not find his body. They came back with the story that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women said, but they didn't see Jesus. Then he said to them, 'So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory?' Then he started at the beginning with the books of Moses and went on through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. They came to the edge of the village where they were headed. He acted as if he were going on, but they pressed him, 'Stay and have supper with us. It's nearly evening. The day is done.' So he went in with them. And here is what happened. He sat down at the table with them. Taking the bread, he blessed and broke and gave it to them. At the moment, open-eyed, wide-eyed, they recognized him. And then he disappeared. Back and forth, they talked. 'Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road, as he opened up the scriptures for us?' They didn't waste a minute. They were up and on their way back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their friends gathered together, talking away. 'It's really happened. The Master has been raised up. Simon saw him.' Then the two went over everything that had happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread."
We will sing "Mighty to Save." Our Savior can move the mountains because he is the author of our salvation, and because he has conquered the grave. Our Jesus, victor over evil, is mighty to save. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Can you imagine the two weary travellers on the road to Emmaus? They are tired and disappointed, battling with their own sufferings and crashed hopes. They are defeated and battle-weary. With the untimely death of their leader, the way now seems long and without purpose. They're engaged in conversation, perhaps finding comfort talking to each other about what has happened, perhaps expressing confusion and disbelief, perhaps trying to make sense of it. They are lost, even though they are walking with a destination in mind. It reminds me of many times of my life when I have been walking, but I'm really lost on the way, not sure what has just happened, and trying to find hope in the midst of dashed dreams and deep disappointments. In these two disciples on the way, I see the reality of suffering, my friends and family's suffering, and the world's suffering. Over both my very short lifespan and over the centuries that have gone before. Suffering is so real in this life. It comes to us in many different forms and it creeps up in so many varied directions. Sometimes suffering threatens to overwhelm us and we can't see the wood for the trees. Our bodies react, our minds extrapolate bigger and bigger catastrophes, and we are properly blind to the truth. As were these two disciples. They were walking along with Jesus, the very man who they were grieving for. And they did not recognize him in their midst. His presence was not seen. They are amazed that the stranger has not heard of the terrible events that have happened, and so they tell him about it. And the stranger responds by teaching and interpreting the scriptures to them. And we are later told that their hearts burn as they respond to the truth. But it's only when they share bread with the stranger, in the same way as Jesus taught them before, that their hearts and eyes are opened and they truly see. It is then that they see the meaning in the suffering of Jesus. All that he foretold, and all of the prophecies that he fulfilled. It is then that they begin to see the purpose of their own suffering. This week I've read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. Dr. Frankl was a prisoner in German concentration camps in World War II. The short book is his subjective observation of how people reacted in these camps and what attitudes helped them to survive during these difficult times of capture, incarceration, and freedom. One sentence has stayed with me all week. Frankl quotes Dostoevsky, who says, "There is only one thing that I dread, not to be worthy of my sufferings." It seems particularly relevant to me as I write this on Anzac Day, when we remember the sufferings of so many young men and women who fought and died during the wars. We give thanks for the sacrifices that they made. Suffering is something that none of us can escape in our lives, so let us be worthy of it and attend to it gently and with compassion. I've heard it said that one challenge we face in this Western individualistic culture in which we live is that there is no longer room for tragedy. If something goes wrong, we tend to blame ourselves or we blame other people, either subconsciously or consciously, because these days we are taught that actually we have control over everything that happens. But really, for centuries, people honestly believed in the reality of tragedy. in circumstances that were purely beyond the control of the individual. Bad stuff just happened, and you had to learn how to be worthy of it. Put another way, sometimes you get to deal with cards, and sometimes they get dealt for you. No blame. So are you worthy of your suffering? What are you doing with the cards you were dealt? On that road, Jesus showed that he was worthy of the suffering he had endured. There was a good reason for Jesus' death and resurrection, so that the forces of evil could be defeated and that the Lamb who was without blemish could carry the sins of the people forevermore. Jesus' suffering was so that we could be a free and forgiven people. Hallelujah! Christ is risen. We are now in the 40 days of new creation and of the celebration of our forgiveness and freedom after the resurrection of Jesus. The church calendar gives us 40 days to prepare for Easter and Lent, and 40 days after the resurrection to celebrate Easter. Jesus celebrated by sharing bread with the two disciples. In this simple act, they were spiritually awakened after a seemingly apocalyptic event. They had a new revelation about what the scriptures and the words of Jesus and the simple communion meal meant. Suffering very often leads to a new way of thinking and a spiritual renewal as we let go and let God take control. Have you seen your suffering in new ways? Can you find the presence of God in your most difficult life experiences? Will you let your eyes be open to the truth of the Holy Spirit? The two disciples then rush off and share their story with the others who have gathered. They tell them of what has happened while they were on the way, while they were journeying, seemingly lost. They share the good news of the resurrected Jesus. So I encourage you as we celebrate Easter to go out and bear testimony to what God has done for you in your life and in your sufferings. The gospel message is about what God in his love and grace does to get to live with us, sinners that we are. Theologian N.T. Wright says one of the biggest problems with Western Christianity is we are obsessed with how do we as sinners get to live with God. But in the incarnation of God as Jesus, Jesus takes our sins in his death and resurrection and so allows God to come and live with us in all our brokenness and fault. Jesus' suffering is so that we can know God's presence and grace in the midst of our suffering, whether caused by our own sin or the sins of others. Forgiveness is the gift of Christianity to the world. By forgiving ourselves and forgiving others, standing firmly on the truth that Jesus has defeated all the forces of evil once and for all, we are able to have true freedom. And this because of the love of God for you. This is such a beautiful and precious thing. The writer of 1 Peter describes it as being more important than silver and gold. He says in verse 18, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." We are in the 40 days of celebrating Easter. Be like the disciples on the way. Go and bear testimony of what the love of God has done for you. Amen. And as we respond to this message, we sing the power of your love. We ask God to hold us close, to help us soar like eagles because of the power of his love. We ask that God's Spirit will lead us on and renew us, that God will transform us and this world by his power. Our prayers of intercession will be based on the beautiful call to worship that Annie and Effie read. Let's pray. God, we think of those who are living with shattered hearts at the moment and with wounded souls. Those known to us and those who we know about. And we pray, God, that you make them whole and heal them through your love. God, we think of those who are dying and who have lost loved ones in this pandemic. Those who have died through accident or by other diseases and other means. And we ask that you assure them and their loved ones that life is stronger than death. And assure us that we will all meet again because the stone has been rolled away. Holy Spirit, we think of the lonely and the strangers in our midst. Show us how to welcome them. Show us how to be friendly to them. And to show them your love in all its power. We pray for those who are depressed and despairing in their sufferings. Let us walk like Jesus with them and share our hope. We think of the poor amongst us, in our own country and around the world. Help us to open our wallets and our hearts and to give generously. Help us to search for answers that will draw people together and closer to your creation. And answers which will encourage love, not hate. Open our eyes, Jesus, to see that the stone has been rolled away and that the tomb is empty. Because you are risen. Hallelujah. Because you are our companion on our way. Amen. Our final song is Hosanna, Praise is Rising. Eyes are turning to you, God, and hope is stirring, because you are the God who saves us. And in your love, you are worthy of all our praises. Brothers and sisters in Christ, go out into the world this week knowing that you are saved and you are set free, and share this good news of God's love in a broken world. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.